This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Matt Goldman.
And we're having 20-minute talks with entrepreneurs teaching you how to launch your product into revenue.
Check out our book at howtobuildarocketship.com to reserve your launch discount and to download a free chapter.
Today on the podcast, we talked with Melanie Gordon, co-founder and CEO of Tap Hunter. She shares their cold calling techniques that they've used to scale the profitability within a year of taking a seed round of funding. She also describes the challenges of selling a SaaS product to non-technical brick-and-mortar businesses and how they've overcome them. CodeShip makes continuous deployment simple and easy. Go to CodeShip.com/RocketShip to get a free trial and 20% off 3 months.
We'd also like to thank Envision App. Envision is by far the best prototyping and collaboration tool on the market. Go to envisionapp/rocketship to get the starter plan free for 90 days. Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. We're here with Melanie Gordon, the co-founder and CEO of Tap Hunter. Melanie, welcome.
Thanks.
So tell us the quick overview of Tap Hunter.
Yes. So Tap Hunter is really two things. We first are a set of online tools for the bar and restaurant industry to manage and market their alcohol beverage program. And then for the consumers, we have a free mobile app that lets them discover and find all the great new beer, spirits, and cocktails that exist in the world.
And this is to go drink it in person or to buy it in a physical
Both,
store.
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit more on the on-premise and restaurant side, but we're definitely starting to put a lot more emphasis on, you know, retail and off-premise accounts too.
Cool. That's great. So what made you want to tackle a brick and mortar business or sales business like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, definitely. So the idea was initially born just out of a necessity being in San Diego, which is arguably the craft beer capital of the world. There's a lot here. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to build something that would help us find all the unique new stuff coming on the market. And what we learned pretty quickly was it was all the bars and restaurants and the businesses who were struggling to even figure out how to run and manage a great beverage program.
Okay.
And that's where we started to dig in and think about some tools that we could build for them to help them market their programs better.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about your sales. It's obviously brick and mortar sales. What mm-hmm. does that look like on the day-to-day basis for you guys?
Yeah. So initially, so we're SaaS based. It's a recurring revenue platform. We have packages that range from $29 up to $200 a month. And a lot of people said, you're going to have to build a massive outside sales force with feet on the street. A lot of people in the industry, are used to like beer distributors and alcohol distributors. And we're just like, you know what? No, we got to test this. This is a new world. There's great tools, people are savvy.
Yeah.
And so we've proven that. About 99% of our customers we've sold over the telephone.
So can you tell us a little bit more about kind of the nitty-gritty of your sales process? I know it's not just picking up the phone and calling someone and calling it a day. What does your funnel look like, and even what tools do you use to keep everyone on the same page with such a big sales team?
Sure. So we are really focused on specific markets. So we have 3 full-time sales reps. They're each assigned 3 markets so they can call across the country. So for example, one calls into Los Angeles, Houston, and Philly. And we use Base is our CRM. It's been pretty simple for us to use. And then anyone that hits we have a pretty short sales cycle. So we can do one call closes, and the average is around 2 to 3 weeks, but we're really pushing for a quicker, we're talking to small businesses, to bars and restaurants, and chains and larger enterprises, much different, of course. So we're talking about small businesses. And we use Base, and then any prospect that hits our CRM gets automatically put into a drip email marketing pipeline that is through MailChimp. And so we have Zapier talking to MailChimp and Base. And we have about a 90-day prospecting drip that just keeps us in front of them. And our open rates on that are pretty crazy. Like for the first day, 2, 5, 15, and something else, we're seeing like 45% open rates.
Wow, on a cold email.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so when we start discovering a lot of these numbers for us, I mentioned our close rate, our hit rate a little bit, it's a numbers game for us. It's about filling the top of the pipeline as quick as we can. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the tools we use and ways that we kind of, push them along through the cycle.
So what is in the drip email? Is it educational content around what you do and why they might need you? Because I could see a lot of brick and mortar, bars that aren't really in the whole tech scene, maybe not fully understanding why they might need something like
right.
Tap Hunter.
So the first one is a light intro. Hey, just wanted to introduce ourselves. Here's who we are. The next one is, here are our top featured products. Here are the features that people use the most and why. The next one is, don't just take our word for it. And then we send them to our page of our raving testimonials. And then we have a really fun one in there that's the 7 reasons why you don't need Tap Hunter. And it's because you like to email every single one of your customers every time you change a beer. And it's people
like
respond
that.
To it. They hit reply. And at the end of that email, it says it comes from the sales rep. That is key. So that 7 reasons why you don't need Tap Hunter is the subject line. It's coming from Andy, the sales rep. And then at the end of it, it says, do you have time today or tomorrow at 3 p.m. for a call? Well, okay, but today or tomorrow, what do you mean? It does not matter. People respond and say, yeah, call me today at 1
wow.
or whatever it is.
That's awesome. Are the emails designed out like marketing newsletter type emails, or does it look like just a personal note from
they're pure text. Yeah, they're pure text. I think except for one of them has some images of the product, but the rest of them are all text-based.
And is it designed at all? Is there like a template that you're using, or does it look like I wrote the email and sent it?
Yeah, we're trying to get it more and more away from looking like anything of a template, so okay. that they think it is coming directly from the rep. And we're talking about bar and restaurant owners. You know, we're very techie, and we forget that our customers are not as savvy as we are, which is good. You know, it's good and bad, but it's good in that sense, right? When we're marketing to them, we don't have to overthink some of those nuances, right? I know when I'm getting an email from the CEO of Kissmetrics that he's probably not really emailing me. But we send out an email to all of our app users after they download the app, and they get an email and the subject line says a note from the CEO. And our app users respond saying, "Oh my God, Melanie, it's so great. We love your app." And we're like, "They really think it's me. This is great." Yeah, it's excellent. But
how do you? Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
How do you set up a cadence for your repeat calls? So you have a call, you cold called them once, and you said sometimes it takes up to 2 weeks to close them.
Mm-hmm.
How are you kind of judging how often you should do a follow-up call? Are you scheduling
sure.
that on the call?
So the way that it works is once we get a bar owner on the phone, we go right into our value statement. If you have a few minutes, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions to see what we do as a fit for you. We ask them the questions. The questions are specifically designed to drill straight into what their pain points could be based on what our product solves those pains, right? We say, great, we feel like there's a fit. We'll set up an online demo tomorrow to show you the tools. Does 1 o'clock work? We call them back the next day at 1 o'clock, demo them 15, 20 minutes, present price, close them on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's what it looks like.
Very cool. So, do you have people that are like, "I need a minute"? Or
sure. I mean, we'll hear, "Yes, I'm the general manager, but I just need to get my boss's, you know, buy-in and the credit card." And that's pretty typical. So that's why it's a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And do you have any like referral incentives? You know, everyone's talking about virality online and putting in these little hooks to have your app shared and this and that. But going to a brick and mortar, especially with really non-technical people, have you done anything to try and boost the referrals or some of the word of mouth between restaurants?
100%. So we tell our customers that for every bar customer they refer to us that signs up, we'll give them a free month. And they love that from the ego sense, and that they want to feel ownership in telling their bar friend the newest and latest tool. So we actually haven't given away as many free months as you think we would. It's actually just the psychology of saying that and giving them that option. And we have other customers that are so fanatical about us. This happened just this week. His name's Michael Kearns of Stapleton Tap House in Denver. Is like calling his other bar friend owners, telling them how much he loves us. And he doesn't care about the free month. It's not about that. It's because we stoked him so much on the service and helping him that he just wants to tell other people. So that's kind
awesome.
Of how it's worked a little bit for us. So now we're trying to figure out how to get as many Michael Kern stoked customers as we possibly can.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So all through Inside
Sales. Cold calls?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So about 30% of our paying customers today came from inbound, and then the rest of that has all been outbound.
Wow.
What's your close rate like on cold calls?
Yeah, so our close ratio across the board on average is about 50%, which is really high. So 50% of the people that we get in front of and present price to sign up with us. And a typical average that you should kind of shoot for is around 25 to 30%. And if it's below that, then there's something wrong.
So I'm guessing it probably took you some tweaking to get to that 50%.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. Was it purely defining your script a little better, or was it also understanding the needs better of the bars and restaurants you were selling to and altering your product?
So it was more about the product and what was going to resonate and stick with them. So our very first feature of the product was updated beer, and we tweet it out for you. And they're like, "Sure, yeah, that's kind of exciting. We're not really on Twitter, but sure." And we're like, "Oh, that's not exciting enough for them, right?" And then we released something that would power menus on their website. And they're like, "What? I don't have to go to my website and update it?" And so it was the more excited they got about certain things, then the easier it became. But there was definitely a lot of testing.
Yeah, Matt and I saw that with Hookfeed a bit too in the beginning when we would describe the product to people. And things that really excited us, other people would glaze over. And then you hit on these little things that you thought maybe weren't that important, and people light up.
Yes.
And you have to look for those moments where you see people really lighting up. And
yeah. The biggest thing we passed over, literally, the printed drink menu.
That's what
a printed drink menu. We thought they had this conquered, and what we discovered was either they didn't have one, which is a shitty experience for the customer.
Right.
What whiskeys do you have? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. The bottles are
right. Yeah, the tap handles are over there. Great customer
that
experience.
So often.
Yes.
Blows my
all
mind.
The time. And then it was, well, how are you doing that? In Excel or Photoshop or InDesign. So let me get this straight. You're a beverage manager or director of a location, and you are in Photoshop making all of this work. And so that was when things really stuck for us, was that sticky kind of feature, was that when customers got in and we helped power their beverage menu, it was a huge difference.
Nice. So you, before we kind of jumped on, you described your entire team as being able to sell. Tell us a little bit about how you've been able to, I guess, create a culture where that is the norm.
Definitely. So we were a sales machine, everyone on the team. So we, myself and my co-founder, who is the main developer, we have a senior developer as well, but we both came from a previous startup that was predominantly sales focused. And so a lot of that has just oozed over into our world. And he has helped every single sales rep on our team close a deal. And if he had to get on the phone right now and close a deal, he could. So everyone on our team could literally close a deal if they had to today.
And is that something that's a big part of your interview process when you're interviewing someone that's not really for a sales position? Like, say you're bringing on another dev or someone from marketing. It's tough enough to find a good developer. We've struggled finding people, and I've heard it from everybody. So to find a good developer that's also willing or able to get on the phone and sell, how difficult is that?
Very difficult. And we got so lucky. I can't even believe our first full-time developer that we hired has literally gone out to one of our local San Diego customers on a Saturday to help him and service a customer. He has gotten on the phone with big accounts that we're trying to close across the country. And I mean, it's very rare, but it's so important when you're at this stage that everyone on your team contributes to sales.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's really awesome, because you hear about it a lot in terms of customer service. People say everyone on your team is a customer service representative, but until speaking with you, I hadn't really thought about it through the sales lens.
Definitely. And the sales team, sometimes they'll forget and they'll once in a while kind of remind them, yeah, Mel signed up our first 100 plus customers. Literally, I signed up our first batch of customers. And I think for any founders out there, regardless if you have sales experience or not, you should be able to say that. You should be able to look your team in the face and say, I signed up, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 or whatever that number is. Mm-hmm. It's super important.
So tell us a little bit how you have funded the company up until this point. You have a staff of
8.
8. So yeah. Tell us a little bit how you got to that point.
Sure. So we launched our first product at the beginning of 2012. We bootstrapped the company until the end of last year with our own money and through customer revenue. And then we closed a seed round at the end of January this year in 2014, which helped us hire, what were we at, 3? Yeah. So 6 more people.
Nice.
And we're getting ready to add 5 more people to the team.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what do those 5 positions look like?
So it'll be 3 sales reps, a sales manager, and what was the, designer, looking
okay.
for a designer too.
Nice. Yeah.
So
nice.
4 out of 5 is sales.
Yes.
Have you guys, how much out of market in terms of San Diego have you guys covered?
Yeah, so about 40% or so of our customers are in San Diego, and the rest are all across the country. So we're focused on 10 key markets today, so we're really systematic about the markets we focus on. So our 3 sales reps today are not just calling across the entire country wherever they feel like it. So our key markets are most of all of California, so SoCal, NorCal, Seattle, Denver, Phoenix, St. Louis. Those are some of our big markets that we really focus on.
Nice. So when we're talking about raising and first bootstrapping and funding the company, what's your future plans now that you've raised the seed?
Yeah, so our future plans right now are we have about another 60 to 90 days with some new hires and some potential things on the table for us to then make that decision. Mm-hmm. If we go out and raise another kind of small bridge round or if we go big, we're getting comments from all angles, but we're just keeping our heads down and executing. So we don't know. The short answer is we're not sure cool. yet. Yeah, and one of those, options. Yeah. And one of those options could be to not raise any more money.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are almost profitable.
We will be by October, November is what we're slated for.
Even with all the new employees.
Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So last year, up until we had raised money, because people always say, are you profitable? I'm like, well, we just raised money, so we're burning through the cash. So last year, we were profitable 4 of the last 6 months.
Okay.
So that was huge. We raised the money, and now we got to scale up the team. So
cool.
We're slated to hit profitability again in November.
Nice.
Awesome.
So you're very active in the local community here. I'd love to hear how that's affected even the business or why
yeah.
why you're passionate about contributing so much.
Yeah, there was really two reasons. The main reason was that I wanted access to the best mentors and advisors, and there was no real kind of quality and curated place for that to happen. So myself and some other CEOs in town started the mentor hours that was starting to attract, because we curated the companies, it started to attract the best mentors in town. People that didn't come out of old school biotech trying to mentor a tech startup. Mm-hmm. It was all these really, really good people out of other, you know, Active Network and Take Lessons and all these other companies were mentoring.
Nice.
Number two, someone always told me, always be building your people pipeline. And that's always been super important for me. And it's been huge for recruiting. So we're in the process of recruiting a sales and marketing manager for our company.
Okay.
And I've been told numerous times that it will be the most important hire that we make. And there's a posting out there, like haven't really seen the applicants that we want. And the best applicants we've gotten access to is because of the pipeline that I built with those other mentors and advisors,
nice.
giving introductions and that sort of thing.
Very
so
cool.
That was the other reason.
Nice. I'd love to go back to the funding a little bit, because I think a lot of people are curious about raising out of market or out of San Francisco. What did that look like for you guys? How did you approach your first lead investor?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things was our biggest introductions actually came from other founders.
Okay.
That's where our best introductions came from.
Right.
So if there's any lesson out there to someone listening is build quality relationships with the other startup founders around you, and specifically ones that have already raised money from funds that could be a fit for your business. And so the introduction to our lead investor out of the Bay came from another CEO that we share an office with.
Nice. And were they in here?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And then the seed fund is in San Francisco. And then every single one of our other investors came from angels in San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you worked the local market after having the lead. Very cool. Do you think you would have been able to raise a seed solely in San Diego without the lead coming from San Francisco?
I do. And it could have taken longer, or we could have taken more money from that angel, that group of angels.
Okay.
But we were excited to have the fund and the Bay on board. They were sophisticated and really helped us kind of just set it up so it was simple and get our show on the road.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Yes.
And sharing this with us. Tell us where we can keep up with you and Tap Hunter online.
Yeah, so we're online at taphunter.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Tap Hunter and download our free app to find out where you can get great beer, spirits, and cocktails.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you haven't yet, pop open iTunes and subscribe to be notified of future episodes. We have some really great ones lined up.
And while you're there, leave us a review. We really appreciate each and every one of them.